Okay, I think I pushed all the right buttons and made all the right connections. It is time for the broadcast spotlighting Feed My Sheep Ministries in the city of Fresno. The gentleman who's the founder and the director and the chief bottle washer and the chauffeur and just about everything else of the ministry is the man across the table from me. It's Bruce Hood. Bruce, how the heck are you doing?
I'm doing just as good as I was doing yesterday. I'm just blessed.
You're blessed. We were chatting a little bit before we started recording, and yeah, I guess you are blessed. It's pretty good when you get to come back from the dead twice, and the doctor telling you you're never going to walk again, and I believe you're walking, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Running sometimes, too.
Sometimes, I think it's like running almost every day. We're in the city of Fresno today. This is kind of an unusual one. Usually, Bruce is out my way in Clovis to meet, but I just happened to be over in Fresno, and we said, hey, let's connect. And it's something a little bit unique today, isn't it, Bruce?
Oh, yeah. I think, like always, God is going to really show up and show out, and God's going to tell his people what he's doing today, Ken.
At the end of almost every week, has been the case for the last, 6 to 8 months, we always have a time of prayer. Folks call in their prayer requests to you, and we pray for them. And it all began 1 week with one prayer request. How did that come about? Do you recall?
You know, this young lady sitting next to you was the vessel that God used in starting a prayer line on KRDU. If you remember some time back, actually, Frances is her name.
Frances Bailey?
Yep, Frances Bailey, and we mentioned her name just time after time after time. And I believe Frances, I met her at a church out in Dinuba as I was speaking that day.
Oh, that's Charlotte Gizzi's church.
Charlotte Gizzi's church. And, of course, Frances, I think, had already been acquainted with us on the radio. You'll find a lot of people out by the Dinuba, Visalia, in the area out there that's listening to the radio.
Yeah.
I think we got more out there than we do Fresno.
Isn't that odd? I mean, that's also been borne out in support for the ministry. You get a decent amount of support from the Fresno area, but it's kind of funny how far flung your support comes from at times.
Amen. Well, you never know whose heart God is dealing with, and so it's been good. But anyway, Frances and I connected at that church at Charlotte Gizzi's, where Charlotte Gizzi goes to church at, there in Dinuba. And since that time, we've had a lot of time to talk, and then come to find out that Frances had been infected by cancer. And so, Ken, I can't really tell you exactly how it happened, but it did happen. Now I can see that it was God sent, and it was God ordained. And so through Frances' struggles with cancer, and we started praying for her on the radio, and it just opened up a whole new idea and thought for the radio to have prayer for cancer victims every week. And not only cancer victims, we've been praying for a little bit of everything. And so, boy, she's here today, and I mean, if I've ever seen a miracle, this is it. Because I was there day one with Frances, and I watched God completely heal her. I watched her night turn to day. Amen.
The reason we're all able to connect today, I found myself over in Fresno helping a friend with something. And you had picked up Frances. She has to travel from Visalia to Fresno for her chemotherapy treatments. Is that every week?
Every week, yeah. And Frances is, the chemotherapy is working. Ken, she has a testimony, Ken. And right now we want some of you listeners to really listen.
Okay.
And hear the amazing, miracle-working power of God.
Francis, one of my favorite things is when I talk to somebody and they say, you know, I was diagnosed with this life-threatening disease. Many times it's cancer. And the doctors pronounce, well, we can do nothing for you, or, you know, you've only got X number of months to live. This is the first time I've actually met you in person. I've talked to you on the phone at KRDU before, but what a kick to meet you in person. And you told me that cancer is not a recent battle for you. You were diagnosed with breast cancer at what age?
At age 36.
And that was what year?
1969, and they said I was going to be dead in 5 months.
So in 1969, they told you were going to be dead of cancer in 5 months. Well, since then, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, we're now into the teens almost. And how old are you today?
I'm 79 years old.
So more than 40 years later, I don't know, that 5 months sure did stretch out, didn't it?
Yep, and no problem.
Now, that was your bout with cancer back in 1969, where they gave you 5 months to live. And I know right now somebody who's been given one of those pronouncements, and I've heard the story time and time and time and time and time again, where you get X number of months, and decades later, the person is still alive and kicking and going strong. I had mentioned that the reason you're up in Fresno once a week, even though you live in Visalia, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is that you get chemotherapy. What now, this latest bout of cancer, how did this begin?
Let's see, about 40 years after the breast cancer, about 40 years, I came up with colorectal cancer, stage 4 colorectal cancer. Dropped down to 85 pounds from 120 pounds, and I could not eat anymore. I could not even drink water. I was dying. I knew I was dying.
How long ago was that?
This was almost 7 years ago. And he said, maybe you'll have 2 years to live, maybe three.
And here we go again, and that was 7 years ago.
Yes, almost 7 years ago. So I told Dr. Flip, and I was down to 85 pounds. I couldn't eat. I couldn't, you know, I was in the dying process. Just put me in the hospice, let me die, because I didn't know if I wanted all the treatment and go through it again. I was ready to give up the ghost. Put me in the hospice, let me die. But Dr. Flip said, no, we're going to try to save you.
So what did they do?
So he started the chemo treatment. And I thought with colorectal cancer stage 4, I thought I'd probably have to go through all radiation and surgery. I thought I had to go through all that. But just the chemo, by the grace of God, just taking the chemo treatments, the tumor in my colon shrunk and went away.
Yay.
And the Lord healed me of the colorectal cancer. But the doctor wanted me to keep on the treatment, you know, like almost 7 years now, continuous treatment. I know it's the Lord wants me to do this.
Now, did you, after the colorectal cancer, did you have a flare-up elsewhere in your body?
Yes. Then it went to my liver, was
metastasized.
Yeah. So that's what I'm treated now for the liver cancer. And I say there's little demons and they're trying to eat my liver, but they're not going to do it because, you know, the Lord lets me live.
Now, I remember a few months ago, one of the several prayer requests that we put out there for you, Francis, was you were on dialysis. What was going on there?
Oh, boy. While I was getting chemo treatment, it caused my kidneys to fail. And when my kidney failed, I was sent to the St. Agnes Hospital, because now I'm going to the St. Agnes Cancer Clinic. But I ended up in the big hospital when my kidneys failed. And, again, they thought I was going to die because I had caught double pneumonia at the time, and I couldn't breathe because there was blood in my lungs, and they thought I had tuberculosis besides all that.
That was just earlier this year.
Yes, that was this February.
And I think that is when, early in this year, that's when your name first started coming up on the broadcast for prayer requests. Obviously, you had already connected with Bruce Hood at that point. How did you come across the path of Bruce?
Bruce, when I first heard his testimony on KRDU.
Right here?
Yes. And when I heard his testimony, I said to myself, I got to meet this man. I want to meet this man. And the Lord sent him to the church in Dinuba.
Evangel Bible Church.
Yes. And I was living in Orosi at the time, and I didn't have a way to get to Dinuba, but I said, if I have to walk all the way, I'm going to meet the Reverend Bruce, because I just have to meet him. But somebody took me to the church, and the Evangel Church, and I heard the reverend in person giving his testimony that I had heard before in KRDU. I was just thrilled by meeting him and hearing him. So in the meantime, I had moved from Arosi to Visalia, and I was fighting the cancer thing.
And it, as you said, as a result of the, as a side effect of the cancer treatment, the chemotherapy, that's when your kidneys shut down, and so you found yourself hospitalized in Fresno at St. Agnes with kidney failure and on dialysis. And that was in February, and that's when Bruce put your name out. So what happened in you after that? You're obviously not on dialysis today.
Yes, the Lord healed my kidneys. The Lord healed my kidneys because I hated that dialysis worse than the chemo. That dialysis was really three times a week, and it's fierce. I feel so sorry for people that have kidney problems, because to me, that was worse than my cancer, putting up with that. But the Lord healed my kidneys, and after a couple months of treatment, I was off dialysis. Praise the Lord. Yeah, he healed me.
And so I understand that when you go to for your chemo treatment every week in Fresno, and we haven't talked about this a whole bunch on the broadcast, but it's basically feed my sheep that gets you from Visalia to Fresno and back every week, isn't it?
Yes. And also the American Cancer Society, they have volunteers, lovely people. These people give so much of themselves to the people. They'll take me from Visalia to Fresno for my treatment. And before, they would wait on me all day to take me back. But since meeting the Reverend Bruce Hood, and he said he'll help me, so he sent somebody to take me back to Visalia after my treatment. So I am so blessed by all these people helping me. And I know that, you know, if it wasn't for the help of God's children and his people helping me, I would cease to exist. Because it's the love and the care that I receive. And that's why I get so overwhelmed by the love of people, the love of Jesus.
Yeah, you've had plenty of it displayed to you. As I said, it's the first time today that I'd met you, and I was expecting somebody to look a little bit different with a name like Francis Bailey. And you finally told me what the secret was, and that's because of your lineage. You have two distinct backgrounds on both your mother's and father's side.
Yeah, my dad's from the Philippines, and my mom's a Louisiana woman, English and American Indian, and I think she's got a little French blood in her.
So you got a little bit of everything in there. You've got Asian, you've got Native American, you've got European.
Yes, I'm all mixed up.
With a name like Bailey.
But that was my husband's name, and I kept that name because I have Bailey children. My husband's name was Dale Bailey, and his son, our son, is Dale Bailey Jr. So I kept the name Bailey to identify with my son. And my first husband was from the Philippines. His name was Ferrer. So my first children are mostly Filipino, so their name is Ferrer. So I got a lot of names, my maiden name and first and second husband's names.
When you have a family get-together, it's like a mini United Nations, isn't it?
Oh, yes. We have all kinds and colors and names and stuff in our family.
You told me that you birthed five children between what age and what age?
Between the age of 15 and 22, I had given birth to five children.
You explained that living in Louisiana, as you did back then, you got married at what age?
On my 14th birthday, I was married, not because I wanted it, but because we were poor. And my mom says, no way we can afford to send you to school or raise you. So she says, best you get married, have a husband to support you. And my first husband, he joined the American Navy. He was from the Philippines, but he joined the American Navy to fight the Japanese.
Because World War II.
World War II, because the Japanese were killing all the Filipino people there. So when he joined American Navy, he came to America. First home port he hit was New Orleans, where I was living.
Okay. And not Nolens.
Yeah. And I saw this cute sailor. I was only 12 years old, and I saw this cute little sailor all alone and lonely. And somehow, even at 12, I knew I was going to get married early because my older sister was 13 when she got married.
This would have been what, the early 40s?
Yeah, 40, because I got married in 1947. And it just was, because my mom said, once you start your menstrual period, you have to get married. Mm. So I just knew.
Wow. And five children between 15 and 22.
Yes, and I survived them. And then at 28, I had my sixth child.
And then, of course, as we heard, at age 39, given 5 months to live for breast cancer and kidney shutdown and a couple of more forms of cancer, and you're on chemotherapy. And what do? You, when you get up there for your chemo every week, you sit there and moan and groan and complain, don't you?
When I go for my chemo treatment, we have a ball at St. Agnes. And they one of the nurses dubbed me, she said, you're the mascot for the St. Agnes.
You're the mascot, and you're also the evangelist there, aren't you?
I try to be, because I want to see people happy, and I tell them cancer's not going to kill us. Old age is going to kill us.
I understand that pretty much every week you're up there, you're praying for the other patients, aren't you?
Yes, honey. We laugh, we cry, we pray, we rejoice. But mainly, it's all about Jesus, honey. And this is what I'm saying, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. It's not about us. And that's what I try to tell people. And I tell them, I say, Agnes, it's the love. Just feel the love. Don't let cancer scare you. I said, we're going to die of old age. We're not going to die of cancer. Don't let it scare you. But, you know, the Lord knows our time. And he knows, you know, when he wants us is when he'll take us. Because he took 3 of my children out of my 6 children. I lost a 5-month-old baby, died crib death. But he was 5 months old. Then my 24-year-old son was in the Vietnam War. He came home from the war. He went for a drive in the hills and a little sports car overturned, so he was killed instantly. 24-year-old David Ferrer, my son. Everybody knew him and loved him. And shortly after this last Christmas, my middle daughter died of ovarian cancer. And they didn't want to tell me she was sick, because they knew I was sick. And at the same time, I'm calling them asking for money for my funeral, because I was, yeah. So she died suddenly. And my daughter Carolyn was 57. She was a teacher all her life, a little bitty girl. She was only 4'11", so she couldn't survive the chemo treatment.
But you're still here to tell the story. So when you say it's all about Jesus, Francis, I guess he's kind of pulled you through a whole bunch of stuff over the last 79 years, hasn't he?
Oh, boy, I've been through the hell and high water. But I always knew, because the Lord saved me at the age of 12. My dad always took me to church. And I feel that sometimes we suffer because my mother, I don't think she was a Christian. And I think that's why, because the sins of the parents fall upon the children. And that's what I was telling this man from India today. I said, that's why we suffer, because of, since Adam and Eve sinned, the first people that God created, they turned against them, and that's why the death sentence was passed upon all of us. But because God sent Jesus to take away our sins, that's why even though we die in the flesh, our spirit will live forever, if long as we trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll never die.
Yeah, I think I would call you the evangelist of the chemotherapy crowd up there every week. Well, Francis, God bless you. Thank you for sharing your story and your testimony and all the bad. I don't know, between you and Bruce Hood, I don't know who's had a harder life.
I think the Reverend has it harder, because he's still at it. You know, I'm done. I raised my kids, and I'm
oh yeah, you're done. You're not doing anything anymore. You're just evangelizing people, getting chemotherapy.
Yeah, and I want to do more, and I feel like to do more, but you know, I don't know what I could do. But you know, as I live it from day to day, praising the Lord and telling people about Jesus.
And you did that on the radio and on the World Wide Web this week.
Oh, and I hope I didn't make a fool of myself.
Not at all. You gave testimony to the goodness of God and how he has just done miracles in your life. Well, again, given 5 months to live, when? 1969. According to my calculations, that was 43 years ago. And you're not dead yet, are you?
Nope. I am strong. I am well. I am healthy. I am blessed. And the Reverend Bruce, he said he made a vow to God to take care of me till the end. How blessed am I by this man?
You know, God has given us here at the church a special love for Frances, and not that we don't love everybody else, but she needs someone to help her. And there was times when she didn't have a ride for her chemotherapy, and they was telling her if she didn't have that chemotherapy, she wasn't going to be around here. And she was ready to give up. She said, I don't want it no more. I don't want to bother people. I don't want to be a burden to no one. And so, you know, it was very easy for God to move on my heart and make that commitment to make sure she get the chemotherapy. And so between myself and then some other members of the church, we make sure she get the chemotherapy. And now I'm so glad because she just gave me the word that the doctor said that the chemo is working.
Yeah.
So, and then we've watched her through all of this. Go on dialysis and come off it, kidneys heal. We watch her eyesight come back. And like I say, I watch Frances from a nighttime kind of a gloomy lifestyle to a daytime, a joy of the Lord. I mean, just...
night and day.
Yes. And I could kind of identify with her, how she feels. I mean, after being told that, you know, that she's not going to make it, and then all these things attacking her, illness-wise, and, you know, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, she trusted God, and God has brought her through, Ken.
Wow.
And so, you know, I'm grateful that we made that commitment, you know.
I guess it's a good thing we do this broadcast every week, huh? Because that's how it all got connected.
Yes, it is, yeah, uh-huh. And she's like I say, she's the one that actually got us started praying.
Yeah.
This is a young lady right here. And if I didn't know her, if she told me she was 79 years old, I wouldn't believe a word of it.
You look like you're just about my age.
Oh, boy. You know, when I was blind, in a way, it was a blessing because I couldn't see myself growing old. And then when my sight returned and I saw myself in the mirror and I said, who's that funny-looking little old lady in the mirror? And the mirror said, that's you, Frances. I said, that can't be me. I feel so young. But the mirror doesn't lie. Like they say, the camera doesn't lie. But I've never been a vain person, but, you know, and I asked the Lord, don't let me be vain or you know. But I was just shocked when I was able to really see myself because I didn't realize how really my sight was really that far gone that I couldn't even recognize see myself in the mirror.
One thing you did recognize in the mirror was the light of Jesus shining through.
Yes, and I saw it in the Reverend Bruce. And then when I moved from Orosi to Visalia, one day I just picked up, because after I had met him at the church, and we didn't even get a chance to talk in Dinuba, but one day I just picked up the phone and I said, Rev, I said, I have cancer and my days might be short on this earth. And I said, I want to ask you, would you be the executor of my little estate? And would you officiate at my funeral? Because I figured, you know, it was time for me to prepare to go meet the Lord, and I wanted a holy person to be there, you know, for me. And the Reverend said he would help me.
That service is going to have to wait a few more years.
Yes, and that's what, you know, when he said he's going to take care of me to the end, I said, if I live to be 100, he's going to have to take care of me. He's going to have a job on his hands. You know.
See, if she lives to be 100, that's going to put you're going to be about her age.
I don't know if Jesus is going to tarry that long.
Hey, speaking of the prayer request, that the whole thing that was birthed because of Frances way back at the beginning of the year, do you have some prayer requests we'd like to share this week?
Yes, I do. Number one, we have a Pastor Ray and his wife, Sylvia, both have cancer. Now, this is a pastor and his wife. And so we want to pray a little bit extra for Pastor Ray, because he's got a great work. Now, I know being a pastor, it's not no joke sometimes. So he needs our prayer. And then there's also a Pastor Mike's wife has cancer also. So we have a Pastor Ray and his wife both have cancer and need prayer. And then we have Pastor Mike, whose wife has cancer. We got another young fella, Gene, just asking for a prayer. He has cancer also. And lastly, I have a praise report, Ken. And I believe all good things happen in a birth because the people are praying. My oldest son, which has four children and a wife, just gave his heart to the Lord. They called me over to the house and they asked me to pray for him, and we prayed over the house and they in church. That right there is like for doing what I do. That's the payoff.
Yeah.
See, God gives us things that money can't buy. And nothing else, no greater. And no amount of money could mean more to me than my son, his children, and his wife giving their heart to the Lord.
The only thing we take to heaven with us is other people. And you know what? That confirms, at least in portion, your vision of some years ago about rescuing your children and your grandchildren. Was it a dream or a vision?
It was a dream, but it was something real.
In essence, it was a terrible auto collision on Highway 99. I remember you said the northbound lanes, close to Olive Avenue, close to Roding Park. And in the dream, you had grabbed up your children and your grandchildren before the fireball erupted and scattered them up the embankment and rescued them all.
That was the dream, Ken. And I woke up, and God witnessed to me that, through my faith and obedience, that he was going to save my children.
Step by step, one by one, that's coming true.
Yeah, amen. So I'll keep serving God from sun up to sundown, running this race. Amen.
Amen. I'm sitting at the table with two walking miracles right now. So with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. We are completely out of time. Just going to mention real quick to circle this date on your calendar. Saturday, November 17th is the big march against methamphetamine taking place in the neighborhood near Fruit and Dakota in Fresno. The march will be followed by a day-long rally at Quigley Park. That's located at Fruit and Dakota. If you'd like more information on that, we're going to be talking about that a whole lot more in the weeks to come, or information on Feed My Sheep Ministries, or if you have a prayer request you'd like to have featured on the program, you can call Bruce Hood in the 559 area code at 978-5469, 978-5469. Francis?
Yes, I was going to ask, and could people please pray for all the people at the St. Agnes, Cancer Clinic, where they named me to be the mascot there, and pray for everybody, all the people there. I could give Ken Adams and Reverend Bruce a list a mile long of names, all the people I meet, but the Lord knows who they are. So just pray for, I said, everybody, pray for all the people at St. Agnes Cancer Clinic. They are so wonderful people there. The doctors and nurses, and they're wonderful.
That's a deal. We can arrange that. Bruce Hood, God bless you. Last word this week.
We just want to encourage everyone out there to keep praying. As you heard today, the story of Francis Bailey, prayer works. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. Keep praying, please, as we bring these people's names up that's got cancer and all kind of other things. And we're going to hear more and more victory stories as Francis. Why? Because Jesus said to ask and ye shall receive. God bless you.
And thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Feed My Sheep Ministries of Fresno.